The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Texts Number 29 and 30, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on September 16th, 2009, in Tallinn, Estonia.
So today we are blessed by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Trinandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, with the most auspicious opportunity to study his purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll be studying from Canto 6, Chapter Number 5, Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha, Texts Number 29 and 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yati tan api rajendra Prajasargadiyo Muni Upecha Narada Praha Vachakutani Purvavat Dakshayana Sangshvinuta Gadata Nigamam Mama Anvichchata Anupadavim Bratrinam Bhatravatsala Dakshayana Sangshrinuta Garato Nigamam Mama Anvichchatanu Padavim Ratrinam Ratravatsala. Translation: O King Parikshit, Narada Muni approached these sons of Prajapati Daksha, who were engaged in tapasya to beget children, and spoke enigmatic words to them, just as he had spoken to their elder brothers. Dakshayana, O sons of Prajapati Daksha, Sangshvinuta, please hear with attention. Gadata, who am speaking? Nigamam, instruction. Mama, my. Anvichchata, follow. Anupadavim, the path. Vatrinam, of your brothers. Patrivatsala, O you who are very much affectionate to your brothers. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O sons of Daksha, please hear my words of instruction attentively. You are all very affectionate to your elder brothers, the Harashvas. Therefore, you should follow their path. Prabhupada. Narad Muni encouraged Prajapati Daksha's second group of sons by awakening their natural affinity for their brothers. He urged them to follow their older brothers if they were at all affectionate toward them. Family affection is very strong, and therefore Narada Muni followed this tactic of reminding them of their family relationship with the Harishvas. Generally, the word Nigama refers to the Vedas, but here Nigama refers to the instructions contained in the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Nigama kapataror galitam palam. The Vedic instructions are like a tree of which Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit. Narada Muni is engaged in distributing this fruit, and therefore he instructed Vyasadeva to write this Mahapurana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, for the benefit of the ignorant human society. Anarto pashamam sakshad bhakti yogam madhoksaje lokasya janato vidvams chakre satvata sanghitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the same mass of people do not know this. And therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth, Bhagavatam 176. People are suffering because of ignorance and are following a wrong path for happiness. This is called anartha. These material activities will never make them happy, and therefore Narada instructed Vyasadeva to record the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva actually followed Narada and did this. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme instruction of the Vedas. Galitang Palam, the ripened fruit of the Vedas, is Srimad Bhagavatam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, family affection can sometimes be utilized in preaching. If somebody's relatives have become devotees, you can, and one of the family is not a devotee, you can say, well, all your other family members, they've become devotees. So why don't you follow your family? You can tell the wife, but your husband is a devotee. Why don't you follow your husband? Or you can tell the husband, your wife has become a devotee. Why don't you follow the good example of your wife? Actually, that makes preaching very easy if you can use family affection for preaching. Because family affection is very strong. What if none of the family members are devotees? Then what do you do? You can't use family affection. Well, what to do then? How will you attract them if you can't use family affection to attract them? Everybody is attracted to family affection. So the obvious answer is, we have to be their family. So they're attracted to join this family, you see. Srila Prabhupada explains that is one of the items of surrender, to become a member of a spiritual family. So that means in ISKCON we have to have a family mood. Open-hearted, loving exchanges between the devotees, you see. Not like some Mayavadi ashram. Everybody's floating around their own little orbit. I have my space and don't mess with my space. If you cross the line and mess with my space, there's going to be trouble between you and me. See, that is not a family spirit. Family spirit means there are open-hearted, loving exchanges between the devotees. Devotees taste sweet nectar and constantly expanding that loving, those loving relationships to break down all the false ego barriers, you see. Devotees find that inciting and enlivening to break down all the false ego barriers in the relationships. It's like in a family, there are many relationships, the children with the parents with their parents, there's many, many different relationships in family life, you see. Similarly, in our ISKCON, there are many different relationships. There are guru-disciple relationships, God-brother, God-brother to God-brother, God-sister to God-sister. You see, we have so many relationships. We have God-cousins, God-nephews, God-aunts, God-uncles, so many types of relationships. We have grandfathers, everything, you see. We have so many things. So we should be, this family, this ISKCON family, it's a very important family. Why is it so important? Because this family is going back to Godhead. If you join this family, the ISKCON family, then you will go back to Godhead. Actually, many of our members have already gone back to God. So just like we have ISKCON Tallinn, ISKCON Riga, ISKCON Helsinki, we also have ISKCON Goloka Vrindavan. So sometimes we save up our money and we go to Mayapur Vrindavan, you see, on pilgrimage. Sometimes we save our money and we go to Vrindavan on pilgrimage. So we can also accumulate the assets within our heart so that we can take that ultimate pilgrimage to Goloka Vrindavan, you see. To associate with the ISKCON devotees there in Goloka Vrindavan. To associate with the ISKCON devotees in Goloka Vrindavan. By accumulating the pious assets, the bhakti assets within the heart. Of course, that membership within ISKCON will connect you not only with the ISKCON devotees, but with all the nitya siddhas of the spiritual sky. Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jasoda, the gopis, the gopas, the cows, sabakas. No, that's not that way. Cow is Kerala. Yeah, yeah. Sabakas, dog. There's dogs also in the spiritual world, but they don't bite you. So, the point is that we should try to become perfect in these family relationships we have within ISKCON. Because this will qualify us to enter into Goloka Vrindavan. Do not remain an impersonalist. Hanging on to your false ego. That I am the center of existence. Another point we can derive from this wonderful purport is the description here of the Srimad Bhagavatam. As the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. This Bhagavatam knowledge has the power to deliver the entire world from its suffering condition. So, how will they receive the medicine? Will it just fall out of the sky? When there is an epidemic, what do people do to help the people who are suffering from the epidemic? The doctors go in and they inoculate the people to protect them from the epidemic. Do you understand? You are the doctors. And Prabhupada has given the vaccine, Srimad Bhagavatam. Now you are meant to distribute this knowledge. So can anybody be a doctor? No. You have to be properly trained. You have to be properly qualified. Not that anyone can just say, I'm a doctor, I'm going to inoculate you. No. One has to know how to properly diagnose and administer medications. So, actually, ISKCON is a training school for spiritual doctors. We want to train you how to become a spiritual doctor. So that you can administer the cure of Srimad Bhagavatam to the suffering people of this planet. So what is the training for becoming qualified to administer this cure? Actually, it's not a very difficult thing. All you have to do is take the cure yourself. You see, the spiritual master inoculates us with this cure of Krishna consciousness. All we have to do is follow the spiritual master's instructions. Take the medicine he's administering to us, you see. And by that submission to the bona fide spiritual master, we become cured from bhava rog, the disease of the repetition of birth and death. And as we become cured, then we can cure others also. Even in the beginning stages of our cure, we can also share the medicine. Because this medicine is so very powerful. So, therefore, we must accept this duty that Prabhupada is requesting us to do. We must become Krishna conscious. And we must spread Krishna consciousness. To save the people of Estonia, to save the people of Finland, to save the people of Latvia, to save the people of the entire planet from the repetition of birth and death. In other words, there is the book Bhagavatam and there is the person Bhagavatam. So, we are meant not just to be the readers of the Bhagavatam. We are meant to become persons Bhagavatam. In other words, living manifestations of the Srimad Bhagavatam by our very activities and mentality and speech. Or, in shortened form, in Sanskrit, it is called Acharya. Each one of us is meant to become Acharya. An ideal example of Krishna consciousness. Yad yad acharati shrestas tattarivetarojana Sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanubhartate. Whatever standard is set by the great person, the common people follow. See, in this way, you see, if one becomes an ideal Vaishnava, then he can have a very powerful uplifting impact on this planet. So we are asking you all to become completely surrendered devotees of the Lord. This will be the best thing for you and the best thing for the people of this planet. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah.
In the start of the lecture, you said about the example of family.
Yeah.
That you can, for example, for preaching, use family.
Right.
And how to know correctly that families follow incorrect things. Because they can smoke too. We must follow if they are smoking.
No. If there are devotees, then you can use family. If they're not, you can't. That was my point.
Yeah.
I clearly explain that if their family are not devotees, then you have to use the ISKCON family as their family. I clearly said that. Try to hear carefully, but everything I'm speaking. Yeah.
How to know correctly that the ISKCON is following the right way?
All right. Now, if this were a sectarian religion, we would say you must accept that the ISKCON family is the right way, otherwise you're going to hell. But we are not a sectarian religion. We are not a cult. We are a society of self-realization scientists. We are philosophers, intellectuals. So we don't like such ideas that, you have to do it because this is the cult and you have to follow what the cult leader says. So why do we encourage everyone to be a part of this movement? Do we say it's the only way to go back to Godhead? That if you're not a member of ISKCON, you can't go back to Godhead? Do we say that? If that were true, how did Narada Muni become a pure devotee? He wasn't a member of ISKCON. What about Jagai and Madai? They weren't part of ISKCON. They became pure devotees. Now what we're talking about is the process of pure devotional service. Nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say you have to be a part of ISKCON or you to go back to God. The word ISKCON doesn't appear in the Bhagavad Gita. So we understand things as Krishna explains them in the Gita. That's not in a cultish way, but in a shastric way. Bhaktyamama vijanati yavanyashtatmi tatvataha tatomam tatvajo gyatva vishute taranantanam. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Vishate tadanantanam. So that understanding of that pure devotional service, that's required. So wherever pure devotional service is being taught, that place, that is good association. Anyone who is practicing and teaching pure devotional service is good association. So where do we find that? We find that in Prabhupada. I don't see anyone who's teaching it as perfectly as Srila
Prabhupada.
Others are teaching to different degrees. But I don't see the perfectional degree of teaching that I see anywhere else other than
Prabhupada.
The Christians are also saying, love God. The Muslims are saying, Allah Akbar. Here's your suicide bombs. Allah Akbar. But this high level understanding of pure bhakti, even amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada has distinguished himself as the preeminent acharya for the modern age. That's a fact. Even amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada has established himself as the leading acharya for the modern age. And we've seen that other Vaishnavas outside of ISKCON, they criticize Prabhupada. They tried to minimize or to find fault with the way that he has trained us. Therefore, we are not so inclined to hear from people who criticize our Srila Prabhupada like this. That person who was the only Vaishnava in history who was able to spread Krishna Bhakti all over the world, now they're criticizing, well, he didn't train us perfectly. That means they're envious of Srila Prabhupada. So although we respect them because they're chanting Hare Krishna, we would rather respect them from a distance. Because they're offensive for their offenses against Srila Prabhupada. We want to stay in with Prabhupada. That's why we stay with this guy. But at the same time, we appreciate whatever genuine bhakti people have developed, whatever organizations or groups they may have, we give them all encouragement. I often go to the Christian churches and I tell them about, you know, I preach to them, and they very much appreciate when I come. I have also gone to a Muslim country and I engaged the Muslims in chanting Hare Krishna. They loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage everyone. It's not that they have to be an ISKCON to make some progress. We'll teach them how to, if they want to remain a member of the Christian church, that's fine. We will go to their church and encourage them how to become more more advanced in love of God, you see. In the U.S., I had one Christian minister signed up for my e-course. And then, he used to send me copies of his sermon that he would give on Sunday to all the members of the church, just showing me how he was weaving Prabhupada's teachings into his sermon for the Christian church. And then later on, he wrote me he gave me the good news. He took initiation from one of our ISKCON, one of my godbrothers in ISKCON. He's an initiated ISKCON devotee. Secretly. He's still a Christian minister. They don't know he's a Hare Krishna member. He chants japa at home, see. He doesn't bring his bead back to the church. So in this way, we don't say that the only God consciousness in the world is found here in ISKCON. We never said. Prabhupada appreciated how the Muslims are bowing down 5 times a day to Allah. Prabhupada appreciated the Muslim prayers, you see. We appreciate whatever God consciousness we have, what they have, we appreciate it very much. But we know that nobody has the connection with Krishna that Prabhupada has. Prabhupada is a very rare level, like Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. These are very special personalities, you see. Nityasiddhas. Therefore, we stick with this ISKCON family. Because here we get the best connection with God. If you want to make money, what will you do? Will you take some low-paying job? 20 cronies an hour? Or will you take a job that gives 1,000 cronies per hour? Is it? So if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, to go where you get the most spiritual advancement. And that's right here in ISKCON. We give you the best spiritual potency you'll get. You'll never get this degree of spiritual potency anywhere else. Only here will you get this much Krishna Shakti. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe. Tara Pravartana. You see? Unless one has Krishna Shakti, he cannot spread this movement all over the world. So Prabhupada has proven by his practical deeds that no acharya has had that much Krishna Shakti in the history. Prabhupada even, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada manifested even more Shakti than Lord Chaitanya did.
Chaitanya у Prabhupada было больше шакти даже, чем у Господа Chaitanya самого.
Lord Chaitanya only spread this movement within India.
Господь Chaitanya распространил движение только в Индии.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur only within India.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur только в Индии.
Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur only in India.
Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati только в Индии.
He tried to do it in the UK, it was a failure. He sent a sannyasi for many years in England, nothing. Prabhupada sent 3 householder couples with 1 little baby to the UK. And they created a revolution. Who did they recruit to our movement? George Harrison. One of the most influential people for the young people in the whole that whole era of history. The Beatles were one of the most had the most powerful impact on the youth of practically anyone, you see. And they recruited George Harrison to be a member of our movement. This was the Shakti of Prabhupada. So that's why we stay with the ISKCON family. Because this is the only place you're going to get Prabhupada Shakti. Nowhere else. Prabhupada said, if you leave ISKCON, you leave me. That's a fact. That record. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. In the winter of 1966. One gentleman named Alan Coleman, who had a small time record label, he invited Prabhupada and his disciples to record an album. There was no iPods in those days, no MP3s, no CDs. No cassettes. It was 33 1/3 vinyl in those days. So they recorded an album on the label was called the Happening label, very much 1960s mood. The Happening label. So before the Beatles went, after the Beatles had hit the big time, you know, they went on a little cruise through the Greek islands. When the Beatles became famous, they took a break to take a cruise to the Greek islands on a boat. John was thinking about buying an island to make an ideal community on the island. That didn't happen. But George picked up a copy of the Happening, the Hare Krishna album recorded by Prabhupada. He had heard that. Before they went on the cruise. So George engaged all the Beatles in chanting Hare Krishna. They would go on. George said they chanted for hours and hours until their jaws ached.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in complete ecstasy, they were chanting, you see. So that's why George was actually looking. He wanted to meet some Hare Krishnas. He had never met them personally. He'd just gotten the album. So when Shama Sundar somehow happened to get into the Apple recording, the Apple headquarters in London, George was very happy to receive him. So this was the this is the great potency of Srila Prabhupada, you see. He had even the Beatles, you know, chanting in ecstasy for hours. So we can understand that there's no acharya in, like this in the modern age, you see. Yeah, except for Prabhupada, yeah. Yeah, that's another amazing point. Yeah. Here the Beatles were the most accomplished songwriters of all these incredibly, you know, amazing tunes. They were cranking out, you know, Lennon and McCartney, you know, cranking out all these amazing tunes. But Hare Krishna was just some hard, just a simple thing over and over again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Just a very, very simple tune. But the Beatles loved it. So it just shows what sort of Shakti Prabhupada had, you know. It's amazing Shakti. So, anyway, yes. Bhakti Shastri course?
Yeah. Bhakti Shastri course.
And what's the explanation they got?
Yes, when you do something for Krishna without any motive,
right.
It's regular, and it's lasting for some time already, and without some efforts, without some efforts. And two questions about that.
Okay.
This third point,
how much
time he should last to be the pure devotional, you know?
Yeah. How long does it take to achieve pure devotion? But is,
in simple words, she's asking how long you should practice Krishna consciousness to become pure devotee.
Oh, okay.
And what's about this effort?
Well, let me take the first question, one at a time. How long should you practice Krishna consciousness to become a pure devotee? That's your question. Is that the proper understanding? Is I properly understood? Okay, all right, very good. Well, it's very simple, Mataji. If you can become a pure devotee in 5 minutes, then you practice for 5 minutes. If it takes 5 hours, you spend 5 hours. 5 days, 5 days. 5 years, then 5 years. 50 years, do it for 50 years. 50 lifetimes, then do it for 50 lifetimes. You should be so determined, like, you know the story of a little sparrow? You know the story of that little sparrow? The ocean stole her eggs?
Yes, she says, you repeat the story.
Can I repeat it?
Yes.
Yes. You have to be as determined as that little sparrow to achieve pure bhakti. That little sparrow, she, you know how the mother is very attached to her babies. So she was very attached to her little, her eggs, you see. These are her children, waiting to be born. So the rascal ocean, being very nasty and cruel, stole the eggs. And the little bird was absolutely devastated. She begged the ocean to give back the eggs. The ocean flatly refused. So the little sparrow became very determined. That I will dry up that ocean. So she would run down to the bank of the water, she would grab some drops in her mouth, and she would run back to the dry land and deposit that water on the land. And then she would run back down to the ocean, take some more drops in her little beak, and then run back to the dry land, deposit that water in the land. And this way she was determined to dry up the ocean. And everyone was laughing. Just see that stupid little bird. She thinks she's going to dry up the ocean. She's going to drop dead even before she does hardly anything to dry up the ocean. So, there is one bird, his name is Garuda. He just happened to be her big brother. You see, Garuda, he is the king of the birds. So he is the big brother of all the birds. When he heard how they were torturing his little sister, he became angry like a raging volcano. And that Garuda, he has great mystic powers. He's the carrier of Lord Vishnu. So he came swooping into that scene as fast as he could in great anger. He came flying in as fast as he could. And he told that ocean, "You better give those eggs back right away or I will destroy you." And the ocean fearfully returned the eggs. So, you have to be determined that like little sparrow. Did she ask, "How many minutes will it take me to dry up the ocean?" She didn't care how long it took. Time didn't matter to her. All she knew was, all of my energy now is completely dedicated to doing what, to drying up that ocean. I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way, you must be determined to become a pure devotee. You shouldn't think how long it will take. That doesn't matter. That's a condition. Your mind is subtly putting condition. Well, if it doesn't take too long, then I think I'll do it. But if it takes too long, maybe I should do something else. No, don't put any condition of time on becoming a pure devotee. There's another example given in this connection. There was one in Chaitanya Lila, there was one kirtan singer named Mukunda Dutt. He was very, very nice kirtan singer. He sang beautiful kirtan. But he had one fault. He would also sing kirtan with the Mayavadis. You see, Mayavadis, they also like kirtan. But they do the kirtan to merge into Brahman. Even now in the U.S., there's a popular Hari kirtan leader who is Mayavadi. He's very popular with the Mayavadis. So he would chant with the devotees and with the Mayavadis. So the devotee, when Lord Chaitanya heard, he was also chanting with the Mayavadis. He said, he is banished from my association. And this Mukunda Dutt, he was practically dead after he heard that. I mean, he was just totally devastated. So the devotees, they begged the Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, he's practically on the verge of death. He's so devastated. Please let him come back to your association. Lord Chaitanya, if you don't let him come back, he will leave his body. Lord Chaitanya was firm. He said, no. I will not let him come. Tell him I will not let him come back for 1,000,000 births. The devotees were shocked. Oh, 1,000,000 births. Oh. But Lord Chaitanya ordered that they had to tell him. They were thinking, surely he will die when he hears this. But Lord Chaitanya ordered, they had to give the news. They had to give the news, 1,000,000 births. So they went to Mukunda Dutt. They didn't know how to do it, but finally they said, Mukunda Dutt, Lord Chaitanya said, you cannot come back for 1,000,000 births. They thought he would leave his body for sure. But you know what happened? When he heard 1,000,000 births, he said, 1,000,000 births! He will see me! He will see me! Haribo! Haribo! He was dancing in ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya will see me after 1,000,000 births. I will come back to his association. So the devotees told Lord Chaitanya how he was dancing in ecstasy when he heard 1,000,000 births. And Lord Chaitanya said, he can come back right now then. So in this way, you see, even if it takes 1,000,000 births, it doesn't matter, it shouldn't matter how long it takes. Simply, you must be determined. I will do everything I can to become a pure devotee as soon as possible. someone this way. I think our time is way over time now. So let's see. Well, so we'll have, I guess, tomorrow evening will be my next lecture. And you have one last thing? Oh, the second one we have to answer too. Okay. How much effort should we put? Well, I think I already answered that, but by the example of the sparrow. You should put as much effort as the sparrow did. In other words, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every thought that's going through your brain, every word that's coming out of your mouth, and everything that you're doing with your body should all be done in such a way to take you closer and closer to Krishna. You may say, but I have a job. I got to go to work. I've got a husband. I got kids. I got all the... How am I supposed to do that while I'm doing all of this? That's why you need training from spiritual master and senior devotees. Because spiritual master and senior devotees will teach you how to do everything 24 hours a day in such a way that you're constantly moving forward in Krishna consciousness. No matter what your occupation is, no matter what your family situation is, doesn't matter. Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all occupations and family situations. We are prepared to train you. If you're prepared to take the training, we are prepared to give you the training. How you can become a pure devotee as soon as possible. Are you prepared to take the training? All right, I'll give you my card then. All right, so Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.